Willing. So John chapter number 1 tonight, and let's read from verse number 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. And we know God will bless his word. Let's just pause and pray together. Our Father, we want to thank you already for what we have heard this evening. We thank you for the testimony of John. Father, we thank you that indeed he can testify to being transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for what Ruth has sung to us this evening, all centered around the person of Christ. As we come now to your precious word, we pray that all distracting thoughts would be set aside, and that the Spirit of God would take the word of God and burn it deep into people's hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is Christianity all about? Well, I want to say to you tonight, if that's your question, it's not about a philosophy. There are many religions in the world this evening, and they are about a philosophy. Christianity is not about a philosophy. Christianity is not about an ideology. It's not made up of ideal theology or ideal theories. Rather, Christianity is about a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And that's what John introduces us here this evening, that Christianity is about Christ. One man says to take Jesus out of Christianity would be like taking numbers out of mathematics, like taking doctors out of medicine, or like trying to think of daylight without the sun. Jesus is absolutely central to the Christian faith. Maybe you're here this evening and you've received an invitation. You've come along and you're asking the question, what is Christianity all about? Well, it is about this man, Jesus. Jesus Christ is the man who divided history. He is the man who transformed humanity. He is the most prolific, powerful, and purest person ever to have walked this planet. And yet today, millions still don't know who he is or why he came. But John in his gospel deals with those questions as he opens his gospel letter. These first 18 verses form some of the most profound teachings about this astounding person who stands as the very foundation of Christianity. John begins with creation and climaxes with the cross. Over the next 2 weeks, God willing, we don't want you to be just to behold Jesus, but we long for you to believe on him and be saved. We don't want you just to see who he is, but we want you to respond to that and believe on him. And this double-stranded theme of beholding and believing on Jesus is one that runs throughout this familiar gospel. Tonight, by way of introduction, we are just going to look at beholding the Word. Beholding him as he's introduced to us here. I want to leave with you three very simple things as we find them here in John chapter number 1. I want you first of all to behold his identity. Behold his identity. Look at what John says in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That word, as you find it there, is another word for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who John is referring to, and he reveals to us something of Christ's identity. You see, the day that the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem was not his beginning. That was simply the moment he became a man. Rather, here we are told that Jesus Christ existed eternally as the Son of God. When John speaks of the beginning here, he is referring to that timeless eternity and is essentially saying that before everything that has a beginning began, Jesus was already in existence. He never had a beginning and he will never have an ending. In fact, when we go to the book of Revelation, we read that Jesus is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In other words, friends, tonight what that tells us is, and I know that this is impossible for our finite minds to fathom, but you can never go back to a point when Jesus began or became the Son of God. Every single one of us in this room tonight can go back to a point when we were born. We may not remember it, but we all had a starting point, but not Jesus Christ. He never began. He has always been in existence. He was not created. Rather, he is the creator of all things. He was not designed. Rather, he is the designer of all things. He is not dependent. Rather, he's independent of all things. John says here that he has been forever with God. There was never a moment in eternity when Jesus was not with his heavenly Father, the two existing eternally in blessed union and unbroken communion. But then we come to this point that so many refute. And it says in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And this is where opinions are divided. This is where people are skeptical. You see, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is fully God. He was not created by God. He is not a servant, prophet, or messenger of God. He himself is essentially and eternally God. This is the great point John wants his readers to grasp. The man who came from heaven to earth to die for the sins of all mankind was God in flesh, fully God and fully man. You know, just as the words we say reveal the hidden thoughts of our mind, so the living word of Christ, who is Jesus, reveals the invisible God. In the beginning, God spoke to the invisibility, and out of nothing came everything. The world we see is the product of God's invisible word. And likewise, John says the Lord Jesus is the full visible expression of the invisible God. That which no man has seen at any time was revealed to this world in the last times. In fact, it is interesting how John introduces the Lord Jesus to us. As I say, he is called here the Word. Now, that is an interesting term, for in the original, it is the Greek word logos, and it is from that Greek word we get our English word logo. Now, I might know a little bit more about logos than I do maybe about preaching, but as a graphic designer, one of my jobs in the brand consultancy we worked for was to create a logo for a company. Now, what is that? Well, a logo is a symbol. It's a visual representation of a company. It is meant to sum up in picture form all that a company stands for. And a logo will do three things. A good logo creates identification, a good logo creates association, and a good logo creates recognition. Now let me borrow that analogy and bring it across to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth as the full, complete representation of God. He is God. On one occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." You see, when the Lord came to the earth, almost everyone realized this was no ordinary man. But very few recognized this was the God-man. You see, verse number 10 tragically says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Recognized him not as God, rejected him as the Messiah. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came as the light of heaven to shine into the darkness of depravity, yet only a very few grasped the glory of his true identity, that none other than the Son of God was now living and walking among them and would soon die for them. You know, ever since that day, the Lord has still been coming on to countless millions through his Holy Spirit, and yet he's rejected. I wonder tonight, as you've begun to grasp the true identity of Jesus Christ, I wonder, as Ruth has said, that you've been rejecting him, running from him. You see, in the world in which we live today, many acknowledge his birth as a baby, and some acknowledge his brilliance as a man, but to so many, Jesus means so little to them. Living in darkness when light has come, trying to reach God through other means and other men, and even through Mary, when the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made himself available to all. Oh, dear friend, tonight, is there a way that you're trying to reach God, and God has already reached down in the person of his Son? He is that one and only mediator between God and man, and he came to bond that broken relationship between us and God. But you know, when we begin to grasp his identity as the eternal Son of God, and then consider that lovely verse that God spared not his only Son, but delivered him up for us all, that he sent his Son to be the Savior of this fallen world, we begin to see something of the magnificence and the magnitude of his love for us. Oh, dear friend, do you know your love tonight? So much that God spared not his only Son. Oh, we can behold his identity, but secondly, we can behold his sovereignty. Verse number 3 says, "And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse number 10 tells us he was in the world, and the world was made by him. You see, not only is Jesus God, but as such he is the source of all life. You see, John now introduces us to Christ's sovereignty. Someone who is sovereign is the one with supreme authority. If you think about a monarch is sovereign, having supreme authority over their country. But John here introduces Jesus Christ as the one having supreme authority over everything in existence. When John says all things were made by him, the word for all in the original means all things individually and all things separately. While many believe the world to have begun with a random bang, John says the world began with a specific word. Every part of every planet fashioned by the Lord's hand, every single star of which there's countless billions set in its place, in fact, without him was not anything made that was made. Saying something similar, the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1 says, "By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." What that tells us tonight, simply, folks, is this: take Christ out of creation and everything ceases to exist. You see, in him was and is life. Go to the other side of that, and that means outside of him is death. I want to pause at this point and just consider that for a moment. If you want to become a Christian, you must begin with Christ. He's the foundation of our faith in him, his life, because in us is death. You see, every person on this planet, spiritually speaking, is born dead in trespasses and sins. Naturally, We are of Adam. By that one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And you know, we may not know it, we may not look like it, but in God's eyes, we are born dead. We need to be made alive. The Bible says, except a man be born again or be made alive, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, you and I have inherited this sin nature from Adam, and that sin has separated us from God. It separated us from God and life, but worse than that, it'll separate us from God and death. And yes, in Adam, all die, but dear friend, I want to tell you tonight, in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, for in him is life. He died on the cross so that we might live. He gave his life at Calvary to save our life. He suffered for our sins so that we wouldn't have to. Which is why Jesus is the one we must come to in order to be born again, to receive this new life. Being a Christian, dear friend, I want you to get this tonight. Being a Christian must be more than a label. Must be a new life. I wonder tonight as you think about Christianity, I say to you, are you a Christian? You say, oh, I'm a Christian. Go to church, I do X, Y, and Z. And really, dear friend, tonight, Christianity is just a label. There's never been a point in your life where you came and were born again. You see, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if any man, that includes you tonight, be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All that we are now in our unsaved state can be changed. All that sin in your life can be removed. All the sin that would take us to a lost eternity can be forever forgiven and completely removed. You can be given a new slate and a new record, a second chance tonight. For when we come to Christ and confess our sins and take him as our Savior, he redeems us and renews us. He gives us a new faith. He gives us a new Father in heaven, a new family on earth. He gives us a hope in our hearts and a home in heaven. Oh, why would you not want that tonight? When we get saved, we become a new person with a new purpose, a whole new different reason for living. In him is life. Dear friend, if you want to have the assurance of everlasting life, it is found only in Jesus Christ. There is salvation in none other. There is eternal life in none other. Eternal life is not earned or inherited. Eternal life is not found in church or in charity. Eternal life is found only in Christ. The same writer of this gospel, John, said in his first epistle, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I ask you, friend, tonight to do something for me. Forgetting all else that you have, can I ask you very simply, have you got Christ? Have you got the assurance of living eternally in heaven after this life ends? You see, after time, there is eternity. But eternity where? Dear friend, if you have Christ, then it is heaven. If you're without Christ, then it is hell. If you have Christ, it is salvation. If you're without Christ, it is separation. If you have Christ, it is joy. If you're without Christ, it is misery. Or whatever else you or I have in this world, the only thing that matters is whether or not we have trusted Jesus as our own Savior. That's all that will matter. We can behold his identity. We can behold his sovereignty, but finally, very quickly this evening, I want you to behold his humility. There's many mighty things in the verses between verse 2 and verse 14, but let me jump down to that this evening. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, after all, we have considered his deity as the Christ, his supremacy as the Creator. What humility then is found in these opening words of verse 14, and the Word was made, or more literally, became flesh and dwelt among us. Now let's recap here for one moment. The one who set the sun ablaze, The one who set the moon alight, the one who set their stars in their place, the earth in its orbit, the uncontainable, unlimited, infinite Son of the Almighty God allowed himself to become a contained, limited, finite man. Now, this is a mighty mystery. The Son of God becoming the Son of Man, taking upon himself all the limitations of humanity, being fully man, but at the same time remaining fully God. Now, that was absolutely essential. For being divine, he could reveal God to humanity, but as man, he could redeem humanity to God. As God, he could satisfy God's law, but as man, he could identify with our lostness. You know, as I often think about the gospel and think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven to earth, isn't it staggering to think of all the forms in which the Lord Jesus could have come to earth in? He could have come to this earth in the form of a divine being or in the form of an angel, in some form of his own heavenly glory. But rather than sending his Son into this world as a spirit, the Bible says God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. What a stoop from splendor to squalor. I want to take you one step further. Yes, even though he is the King of heaven, he didn't come to earth as such. Rather, the Bible says he came to earth as a servant. When you go to Philippians, you will read that he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. This is one of the great themes of John's gospel, the Messiah moving among men, living among the lowly, serving among sinners, identifying with those who society had rejected, and yet in it all, never once did he become contaminated by sin. He walked perfectly before God. In fact, we're told here that as John watched Jesus walking among him, he says, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Oh, he walked about glorifying God in his life. Never once did he think a sinful thought. Never once did he do a sinful deed. Rather, he revealed the mind of God. He'd done the work of God. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And as such, he came breaking the line of sin. His soul was perfectly pure and purely perfect. Even when he was put on trial, Pilate could find no fault in him. Dear friend, as this sinless one and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now we're getting to the whole reason he came to earth. He came to be our ransom. Came to be our Redeemer. He came as a man to offer himself on behalf of all men without spot to God. As a man, he was exposed to the unimaginable pains of crucifixion. He felt every infliction, the scourging, the spitting, the smiting, the slandering, the driving in of the nails. But worse than that, he was exposed to the undiluted wrath of God upon the cross, as God laid on him all of our sin. And there on the cross, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's why he became a man. So we could be saved, so that we could be given hope, a chance to be made right with God and share eternal life with him. Oh, as you stop and think about that, what a thought that his sole purpose in being born was to die, to give his life for those who may not give their life to him. What amazing love. In Romans 5, we read that for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear friend, as we come to a close tonight, I want to tell you that he loves you. I cannot begin to express how much you're loved by God. But he loves you as you are, and he can save you as you are. There is hope in him. Yes, he died, but the author of life didn't stay dead. For 3 days later, after his death, he rose again, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it, and he now lives in the power of an endless life. The cross is complete. Sin has been finished. He now lives in the power of that endless life. The author of life is offering you everlasting life. On the cross, he defeated sin, Satan, and the sting of death. Dear friend, tonight, it is finished. There's nothing more to be done. And therefore, he's able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto him by faith. Oh, tonight, dear friend, as you behold his identity, the Son of God, as you behold his sovereignty, the one who created all things, and in him is life. If he had stayed in heaven as that, we could never have been saved. But thank God we can behold his humility as he stepped from heaven to earth, went from earth to the cross. And dear friend, he done it for you. As you think about that tonight, as you behold him, you behold who is. Maybe you've never thought of Jesus Christ as that before. Your love with an everlasting love. As we begin this mission, this first night, what about making this the night you get saved? You see, while he stands with open arms calling you to come on to him, you must respond. And tonight, dear friend, as you've beheld him, behold his love and come and put your trust in him.